Turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 35. Now, I had intentions of reading the entire chapter. It's only 10 verses, but then as I see the clock ticking, I'm tempted to not do that. But in spite of the time, I think I'll go ahead and read the whole chapter. Under the chapter heading, my Bible has a little note there that says it's the joyful flourishing of Christ's kingdom. And at the top of the page, it says blessings of the gospel. Now, this is Old Testament, but I believe there's something in there for us. So follow along as I read here in Isaiah chapter 35, beginning with the first verse. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Verse number 8 is the verse of consideration, and actually it's not even the whole verse. But it's just a portion of the verse speaking about a highway. Dr. Ross Price said that this verse is the sparkling point of the entire chapter. He said it's the sparkling point of the entire chapter. We probably don't have to do too much argument or debate to determine that this would be considered a heavenly way. If you want to know the way to heaven, you can find it right here. Really, the way of heaven can be summed up very simply in this passage of Scripture. It's following God, being one of His. There's three things that I want to quickly look at this evening that tell us about this heavenly way. The first one is, according to the Scripture, it's a protected way. You're protected on this highway. Now, sometimes we may get our wires crossed and try to understand and can't understand why things happen the way they do. Say, well, if it's a protected way, there's no lion there, there's no ravenous beast shall go thereon. It's not a place that you would consider to be dangerous. And yet we live in a dangerous world. We live in a world that is dangerous. There's lust and greed and destruction, and seemingly they would run rampant all around us. Seems as though it's impossible for us to restrain that. We find it difficult to keep the ravenous beast, as it were, at bay. But if we stop and look at devastated lives, if we stop and examine people's lives, Just take a look around and see what kind of devastation is going on in somebody else's life. There's people around us that their hearts are absolutely breaking. You say, well, preacher, you say that mine's not breaking? Look at my circumstances. Look at how big the problems are for me. You know, that poem that Destiny just read kind of speaks to it. I think that sometimes it's easy for us to whine and about our circumstances when really there's somebody else that's worse off. But let's not look at that and try to compare there. Let's just simply look at the breaking of the hearts that are around us, or the lives that are bruised by sin. The lives that are in shambles and crushed by the consequences of sin. This is a protected way. Preacher, how can you preach that this is a protected way when we find heartache and heart grief all the way around us and surrounding us? And sometimes we even find that there are heartbreaks that infiltrate our ranks. But let's look at the big picture. While we live on earth, we face things that may be difficult to face. We may deal with situations that may hurt us at our heart, but we do not have to deal with the real consequences of sin when we live on the highway to heaven. Young people, get it into your mind, get it fixed in your heart tonight that you don't have to go out and experience sin in order to understand the consequences of sin. We don't have to go experience it ourselves. We can get enough experience of the consequences of sin just simply by looking at those who experienced it and deal with the consequences. And we can also get enough experience by looking at the people who don't have to deal with those consequences and say, I want that way better, more than I want the other way. You know, I can look around this church and I can see people who have walked the way of holiness all of their lives, and they do not have to face within their heart, within themselves, the consequences of sin. Now, they may be having to face consequences of somebody else's sin. Their heart is breaking because somebody else's consequential sins. But their heart, their life is not tainted by it. I was talking with Wilma this afternoon. 84 years old. I don't know, maybe I shouldn't have said that, but I don't think she's ashamed of her age. She said all of her life she's given it to Christ. She's served God. She's never had a moment that she can recall of ever being rebellious. No, she said she hit the altar often. Went to the altar often. The difference is that she had a heart all of her life to serve God and to be faithful to God. Oh yes, there was times that she had to come to the altar for seeking and making sure and clarifying and seeking the Lord for that extra or something along that line. But there was something about her life that tells me that her way is better than the way of sin and the transgressor. It's a protected way. I believe that we can look at it as a protected way, that God keeps his people from the dangers of the world, not from the dangers necessarily of sickness and problems. There are times that he keeps us from it. There are times that he heals from it. But he protects us in the sense of this protection on the highway of heaven. That the enemy cannot get to us and do to us what he would like to do. I love the story of Job. No, I don't like to see Job lose everything that he had and have to deal with all of that. I don't like the thought of Job having to suffer the loss of his family. I don't like the thought that Job had to go through the anguish of his heart when his wife said, curse God and die. No, I don't think I care much for that part of the story. But the part of the story that I do like is that any time Satan tried to do something to Job, he had to go through the throne room of heaven first. God does not bring on us more than what we are able to bear. He has sufficiency of grace. Satan cannot and does not approach us without God's approval. as we walk on the way that is a heavenly way. There's no lion there. There's no ravenous beast there. Now, I tell you, we must be reminded that Peter warns us in 1 Peter 5:8, and it's something that maybe I say little more often than what somebody would care for, but he says it, and it's a strong warning for us to be sober and vigilant, because he, the devil, is our adversary, and as a roaring lion is seeking someone to devour. And that someone is seated right here. That someone is standing right here. It's you and I. You say, preacher, we already know that. That's right. Let's be reminded of it. Let's be understanding that this is a heavenly way, and it's, even though it's heavenly, it's protected. We still deal with problems, but we are protected by God's protecting hand. It's not only a protected way, but we also find that it's a pleasurable way. The ransomed of the Lord shall return, come to Zion with songs of everlasting joy upon their heads. Sounds like there's some pleasure in serving God. Are you finding it pleasurable serving Him? It seems as though that as humans, humanity, we enjoy pleasure. We live in a pleasure mad society. I'm not really sure what the word or compound word means, pleasure mad, but it seems to indicate that it's the drive of humanity. It's the drive of society to do whatever it takes in order to have fun. To do whatever it takes to avoid problems, to avoid hardship, to avoid things that may bring us to seriousness, and to do things that would take away the thoughts of seriousness and bring pleasure or happiness, even though that pleasure may be only for a moment of time or for a short season, and then there's consequences to be paid. But then at that point, when consequences are sad, the people strive to find something bigger and better to make themselves happy. So I suppose that that's right, pleasure-mad society. The sad thing is, or the more saddening thing is, that it's finding its way into our world as well, into our Christian environment as well. Professing Christians cannot or are not finding satisfaction in Christ, but they are looking for the satisfaction of this world. The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs of everlasting joy. Does your heart sing? Even when things go wrong in life, does your heart sing? Is there pleasure in serving God? The songwriter said, "Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God." Well may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Another songwriter penned the words, "Christ is not a disappointment. Find in Him complete fulfillment. He has brought me into rest." I suppose Brother Webb has read the book of, I think it's, is it G.D. Watson what the title was. I had it right there and it's gone. There's something about the rest, I think, in the title. Was it G.D. Watson? I didn't write that down. It just came to me there that brought me into rest. I think it was The Sabbath of the Soul. Is that G.D. Watson? You're not recalling it Sabbath of the Soul, I believe is the title of the book, and maybe it wasn't Watson, maybe it was someone else. But there's a Sabbath of the soul, the place of rest when we come to God. God provides us the pleasure of that rest. He has brought me into rest. I find in Him complete fulfillment. It's not a pleasurable way if your sins haven't been forgiven. You don't find the Christian way to be pleasurable if your sins are still attached. You might even find it difficult to find it to be pleasurable if their heart hasn't been cleansed. If you haven't surrendered it all and given it all and died out to self. Christ is not a disappointment. It's a pleasurable way. I'm still fairly young, although you're not going to find anybody that's three times my age, Vaughn said. He made me aware that that's not likely at all. Hard enough to find somebody double my age, he said. I'm not sure if that was just a friendly friendly banter or if it was a stab, you know. But I'm fairly young. I just don't see it. I just don't see the heavenly way, the heavenly road as being a difficult road. I just don't see that it's a way of hardship. I just don't see that it's a drudgery. I really don't think it's all that bad going to church on Sunday, and I'm the one that has to be up here both services. Maybe it's more difficult being out there when I'm up here. I understand that. I try to take that into consideration. But when I look around and see the other choice, you see, there's only two ways given. It's the broad way and the narrow way. That's the only two choices. You say, well, that's what the Bible says. Somebody might say and bring up objection. That's what the Bible says, but there's many ways to get to heaven. Well, you know, if you want to take your chances with that, I guess it's okay to do that. But I would say that if we're going to heaven, we're going to have to follow the book that heaven brought us. And that book, the Bible tells us that there's two ways. Young people, children, get it into your mind that there's two ways. And you have the choice, we have the choice, and it's best for us to get that choice settled at an early age. Children, at an early age. Teenagers, settle it. Oh, preacher, I have settled it. Good. Keep it settled. So when I look at the two ways, the broad way in comparison to the narrow way, it just seems to me like the narrow way outweighs in the way of protection and pleasure, satisfaction and fulfillment, happiness, joy. You say, well, what's the third way, or the third part of this way? This third one tells us about the character of the way beyond what it does for us, as much as or more than what it does to us. This is a pure way. It's a pure way. It's the way of holiness, it tells us. The unclean shall not pass over it. It's a holy way, the way of holiness, he said. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart. We've looked just recently, follow peace with all men and holiness. It's a pure way, people. We can't get around it, no matter how hard we try, no matter what method we use to justify. It is a pure way. God has called from the Old Testament all the way into the New Testament, all the way up to our day, be ye holy, for I am holy. Simply put, it's a pure way. The unclean shall not pass that way, because it is a way of holiness. Total surrender, a dying out of ourselves, a commitment of our life completely into the hands of God. The Holy Spirit cleanses the heart, purifies the heart, says in Acts. Purifies the heart. It's a pure way. And we are empowered for service. We are empowered to live. And when our heart is surrendered to Him, we find that it's a pleasurable way. We find that it is a protected way, because it is, first of all, a pure way. If you want to go to heaven, I don't very often say follow people, because people most often will some way, somehow along the line, whether it's deliberate or a perception. Sometimes I believe that when people get their eyes on somebody else and they see something, it's just simply their perception, and they drop off the face of the earth spiritually, as it were. So seldom will you hear me say follow somebody, but Paul said basically, follow me as I follow Christ. And if you see somebody that's truly following Christ, living a godly life, then learn to follow that person as they follow Christ, but follow Christ ultimately. And that way is a holy way. This way of holiness will lead us to heaven. There's no question. I've seen too many people go from this holiness way to believe anything else. That it is a good way to walk. Let's walk in the heavenly way. The joyful flourishing of Christ's kingdom. Let's stand together tonight.